Carl Jung said conscience too easily succumbs to unconscious influences, which are often truer and wiser than our conscious thinking. Furthermore, it often happens that unconscious motives override our conscious decisions, especially in matters of vital importance. Many people tend to undermine their own agendas, resulting in frustration and confusion. They find themselves making irrational decisions, experiencing mental blocks, and even suffering from physical ailments that paralyze their plans. It is as if a mysterious force took control, distancing them from the goals they have set out to achieve. Thus, harassed by continuous self-sabotage, these people never seem to get where they want to be. But why do we self-sabotage? Why do we ruin our own plans for no apparent reason? The psychiatrist Sue Caroon discovered plausible answers to these questions by becoming aware of a part of the psyche that he called the shadow. We can see the shadow as a psychological vessel within the realm of the unconscious. In this dark place, where the light of our conscious awareness does not reach, we store our undesirable traits. There may be several reasons why we sweep certain unwanted aspects of ourselves under the rug. Our parents may not like them, or they may not conform to the social ideal, or life has taught us that they lead us to suffer. We repress these traits by banishing them to the bowels of the psyche, as if they were not part of us. But they are, and according to Jung, the repression of unwanted aspects of ourselves will not solve the problem. In fact, it can have disastrous consequences, since these aspects take on a life of their own, operating in the darkness. This is where self-sabotage begins. The repressed parts of the personality reveal themselves against our conscious minds from the depths of the shadow. We are at war with ourselves without even knowing who we are fighting against. Fortunately, there are ways to stop this self-sabotage. Instead of repressing what is in the shadow, Jung urged us to integrate it into our personality, and we can only do this by making the unconscious conscious and discovering what is hiding underneath. Let's explore the psychology of self-sabotage and how to overcome it based on the works of Carl Jung. There is a common misunderstanding about the shadow that leads to a lot of confusion and misunderstandings about its role and how to integrate what has often been repressed. The shadow is thought to be simply the dark, negative side of the personality. Because of the problems it can cause, it is often thought of as the part of us that houses all of our negative impulses. Because of this, the shadow as a psychological concept is often symbolically represented as a shadowy figure, suggesting an ominous other self that exists outside of our consciousness. But the shadow refers to something fundamentally different. The shadow is more like a dark place than a dark and shadowy figure. We could think of the shadow as a dark closet in the human psyche where the light of consciousness does not shine. This dark closet is where we lock up all the repressed parts of the personality that we are unwilling and unable to face or reintegrate in the moment, which may happen for various reasons such as trauma or unmet needs. So, when we talk about doing shadow work and integrating it, we are not actually integrating the shadow itself, we are integrating the contents of the shadow. When I say the contents of the shadow, I mean all the repressed parts of the personality. These are the parts of the self that inhabit the dark place that is the shadow. In the same way that you could put objects in a dark closet and they would become enveloped in shadows, you could also take those same objects out of that dark closet and take them into the sunlight, and they would no longer be shrouded in shadows. This is also true for the parts of the personality that dwell in the shadow. There is nothing inherently shadowy or negative about them. It is simply that they have been placed in a shadow place and are operating outside of our conscious awareness, often causing problems for us because of this disconnect. Now, something important to realize here is that when these parts of the personality are repressed, it's not like you just have some traits still repressed. It wouldn't be entirely accurate to say something like repressing my greed or repressing my joy. Both greed and joy are floating qualities. To repress a quality like greed, joy, or anything else, you would have to repress an entire fragment of the personality that is associated with those qualities. These fragments of personality that break off from conscious awareness are often called shadow aspects. They are actually more like mini personalities, and each of these mini personalities is 100% you because they are fragments of your personality. When these mini personalities are detached from your conscious awareness and placed in the dark closet of the shadow, they become separate and autonomous from your conscious personality, which is the ego, the part of yourself that is in the light of consciousness that you refer to as self. Then, in the same way that our conscious personality or ego has its own perspectives, needs, and agendas, each of our shadow aspects also has its own perspectives, needs, and agendas. The agendas of any given shadow aspect may or may not conflict with the agendas of our conscious personality. When the agenda of your conscious personality clashes with the agenda of one or more of your shadow aspects, this can cause quite a bit of internal turmoil and a sense of resistance or struggle with yourself. You may notice your shadow aspects and their agendas in action when you engage in procrastination and self-sabotaging behavior that prevents you from making positive changes in your life. Let's discuss an example of how shadow-based self-sabotage can manifest in someone's life and hinder their plans. Suppose a man strongly identifies with being a loner. His goal is to run a successful online business and live in the countryside, because that way of life minimizes interaction and dependence on other people, which he consciously believes is what he ultimately wants. Even though the idea of self-sufficiency is practicable, he repeatedly undermines the progress he achieves. For example, they offer him the opportunity to buy a piece of land in nature at a friendly price, but he rejects it for a fragile reason. Or he manages to attract a considerable number of followers on his lifestyle blog that still has a lot of profit potential. Thus, he decides to stop publishing without being able to explain his decision with solid arguments. From the ego's perspective, the way he consciously perceives himself and determines what he wants and needs makes his choices meaningless. After all, he strongly identifies as the solitary Batman who has dreamed for years of being self-sufficient, independent, and away from the herd. But as soon as his dreams come true, he throws an obstacle in the way. He cannot explain why. It is as if something or someone is sabotaging him, as if an unwanted guest was hiding in the shadows of his soul. Unsupervised, outside his conscious being, this person quickly takes control without consultation, destroys what the ego's efforts have achieved, and then leaves without a trace. Any form of solid reasoning to support his self-sabotage remains elusive. He knows that something strange is happening in the darkness, but he cannot point it out, as it is beyond his conscious reach. Until he is able to illuminate what lurks in the shadows, he will rule it like a puppeteer from behind the curtain. As the Jungian analyst Morin claimed, any autonomous complex not subject to conscious will exerts a possessive effect on consciousness proportional to its strength and limits the freedom of the latter. When our shadow aspects take the reins, destructive consequences may arise. Inexplicable desires and emotions may arise out of nowhere and when they please, without permission, overriding our authority and diminishing our willpower. They influence and sabotage our conscious agendas while pulling the strings from behind the scenes, leaving us perplexed by our irrational behavior. Dr. Morris Stein wrote the following about the sabotaging nature of complexes. Complexes function to slow down the process of individuation by intimidating the person into emotional dead ends. One can easily fall victim, for example, to a relentless need for revenge and unrelenting anger toward wounds inflicted in childhood, or fall into the bottomless abyss of nostalgia. The complex has a will of its own that is often stronger than the ego's ability to resist. The complex or mini-personality that hides in the shadow of the man represents a repressed characteristic, the desire for human connection. Due to past wounds, he had dispossessed it, and is unaware that this unwanted aspect of himself has turned into a what? Shadow government that attempts to undermine the actions of a fearful isolationist disguised as a lover of solitude and independence, but who unknowingly longs deeply for companionship. Deep in his psyche, this repressed personality plays a paradoxical game. On the one hand, this shadow aspect wants to be part of his conscious consciousness, wants him to listen to its motivations, feel its desires, and satisfy its needs. Thus, it sabotages the firm individualism of the conscious personality and all its efforts towards independence. Consequently, he lives with roommates and washes his clothes in a public laundromat where he sees many people. This situation may seem inconvenient and unwanted from the perspective of his conscious personality, but it is precisely where the shadow aspect wants him to be. On the other hand, the aspect of the shadow does not want to be illuminated, and its evasion is understandable, since it not only represents the unwanted but also reveals itself against the person who dispossessed it. If they find it, it will lose its sovereignty. So, as long as it remains in the shadows, it maintains the power to troll, sabotage, and destroy autonomously. It remains its own personality and, above all, safe. But in doing so, it will be in perpetual conflict with its host. There are several different reasons why self-sabotage takes place, and here are some of the main reasons. 1. Conflict between conscious goals and unconscious beliefs. Our conscious mind sets goals and makes plans, but if our unconscious mind holds contrary beliefs, we may unconsciously sabotage ourselves to avoid conflict. For example, someone might consciously want to be in a relationship, but if they have unconscious beliefs that they are unlovable or will get hurt, they might sabotage potential relationships. 2. Fear of change. Change can be scary, even if it's positive. The uncertainty and potential risks involved in change can lead to self-sabotage, as staying in a familiar, albeit uncomfortable, situation can seem safer. 3. Fear of success. Success can bring its own set of pressures and expectations. Some people might fear that they won't be able to handle success or that it will lead to new problems. As a result, they sabotage their efforts to avoid these potential issues. 4. Self-worth issues. If someone has low self-esteem or believes they are unworthy of success or happiness, they might sabotage themselves to align with these negative beliefs. This can be a way of maintaining a consistent self-image, even if it's a negative one. 5. Comfort zone. People often stay within their comfort zones, even if it's not where they want to be. Stepping outside of this zone can be challenging and uncomfortable, leading to self-sabotaging behaviors that keep them where they are. Understanding these reasons can help individuals recognize and address their self-sabotaging behaviors. By bringing unconscious beliefs and fears to light, they can work to align their conscious goals with their unconscious mind, ultimately leading to more consistent and positive outcomes.